James chapter 3, this morning we're looking at 13 through 18 as we continue our series in the book of James. James chapter 3, beginning in the 13th verse for our sermon text. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace and by those who make peace. Let's have a moment, or let's pray for illumination as we approach this text of Scripture in this holy, holy Lord's Day. Our Father, and our God, we ask now as we come to this text of Scripture dealing with wisdom and which wisdom is correct. And we ask, Father, that you would illuminate our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Convict us and convince us of the truths we find here this morning. Help us, for we need it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Now, as we've seen and as we've looked at the tongue, we've looked at the wisdom of the world, or the world system, and now we begin to look again at these two kinds of wisdom, and now we get into the idea this morning as to what they are. Now, there's an antithesis between the two, and we'll see that very clearly when we get further into the verses we're looking at today. And we do see this in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct. Last week we said that there is another pattern from James where he says, if you say you have this wisdom, show it. Express it to us. Show us that wisdom that you have. Just like if you say you have faith, let's see what it is. What's faith producing? God is clear in his word that if you are in his kingdom, if you are a child of God, if you've been adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will show things differently than a pagan who claims he's a Christian. Someone who says they are but aren't. You see? And that's the difference. There will be a showing, there will be an evidence of Christianity in your life and in the lives of all the saints who claim Christ as their Savior. So then we have to begin today by noticing again a contrast between the preceding verse and the verse that we'll be starting at today. What is it about people that we label as self-seeking and absorbed within themselves? That's a question we can ask. We have an answer from the Scriptures. Answering it on our own strength would be a mistake, because we need to understand what the Scriptures say about this. You know the person that is always looking for a way to promote his or her own agenda? These people, we say, are in fact full of themselves. Now listen closely, Christians. As we see this, is what God calls us not to be. If someone is self-fulfilled in what they, their own agenda, God says that's the opposite of what I'm calling you to do. And that's what we said. We've had many instances in our lives, I'm sure, where someone says that person is full of themselves. They can't stop talking about themselves. Their own agendas are supreme in their mind, and they walk in deception, as we'll see. They don't walk for the King. They don't live for the King. These people, again, are full of themselves. And as we will see, this is what God calls us not to be. And this is very critical that we understand this morning as James begins to show us. And he's showing this to the early church. I can remember as a young man being so self-absorbed that I really could justify anything. And I do remember being able to sin without any type of consequence in my own mind. So you could justify anything as a pagan. You could talk yourself out of any trouble. Your conscience is dead. It's seared with a hot iron. So you could, as a young person who didn't know Jesus Christ, didn't care about the law of God, I could justify anything that I did and make sense of it. In other words, I had an agenda. My agenda wasn't for Christ. My agenda was for my own self-seeking ways. And that is named among all of us who are outside of Christ. This, of course, is self-deception. Self-deception is an absolute powerful tool of a fallen mind. And when Satan has the input into that mind, it's very dangerous, because you can self-deceive yourself into all sorts of things. We have to guard ourselves against self-deception. And this, in fact, is a scary place to be, considering the human's ability to deceive himself to the point that no one actually would have a working worldview that confronts his deception. In other words, no worldview could penetrate the self-deceived heart. You could have a person who's young, a youthful teenager, who thinks they've got it all figured out. They don't need any rules from their parents. Their parents can keep trying to reason with them. This is wrong what you're doing. But if they're self-deceived, their worldview that they're trying to impose on the child that is not regenerated, that doesn't love the law of God, refuses it outright. And the penetration of that worldview is not happening. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that only God can change a heart through regeneration. We cannot change someone's heart through manipulating. No manipulation from a human being can change a person's heart, only the Holy Spirit. And we praise God that's not our job. It is God's job. So then in verse 14, listen closely to this text. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The first thing that we see, that we notice here, is the parallel between what James is saying and compared with Paul and what he says in Galatians, which we'll see in a few minutes. Certainly the opposite is true, that if one does not have a controlled spirit, he is controlled by something else. If we're not walking in the Spirit, something else is controlling us. That self-centeredness, that self-seeking, looking out for oneself only. That something is a heart that is filled with bitter envy and selfish ambition. And that is a grotesque place to be, because it is absolutely evil. Now look at Galatians with me this morning. Turn to chapter 5 to see the example from the Apostle Paul dealing with this flesh, and then of course the work of the Spirit. But Galatians chapter 5, as we see the contrast that is clear in God's Word. Galatians chapter 5, just beginning on the 20th verse, or I'll just begin with 19 through 23. But listen to these words. Verse 19 of chapter 5 of Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, before I finish reading this text, we're looking at the next couple verses dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. What part of that list has anything to do with godly living? None. That's the antithesis of what we're about to see here. Now, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23. Gentleness, self-control. Remember, not self-seeking, but self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Against such, there is no law. There is no law against those fruits of the Spirit. That should be where we're at. Now, I would just like to address just briefly, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Now, we have many instances in our own lives, and we've seen people with these. People have situations where long-suffering is named among them for many, many, many years. But yet God calls us to be long-suffering, to be patient, to love, and to bear up with someone who is going through something, or that we're going through that with. We exercise gentleness, self-control. What is more blessed to have a gentle spirit when you're dealing with someone who needs help or needs to be rebuked even, to do that with gentleness and kindness according to the Word of God. So then we see here, as we turn back to James, that this harboring bitter envy is a sin. Verse 14, of course, harboring bitter envy is a sin. Now let's define some of this. That is the easy answer, but what about it? If harbor bittering envy is a sin, what about it? What is bitter envy? What is bitter envy? The Greek word zealous is an envious and contentious rivalry spirit. Jealousy comes into play. Jealousy. Where one is so jealous they can't see straight. But to be so self-absorbed. So harboring bitter envy is a sin. It's one thing for us, in a practical note, you may get upset with somebody and you may feel like their vengeance is yours and not the Lord's. But that needs to be repented of very quickly. Very quickly you should seize that and say, Father, I know this is a sin against you that I would think about taking vengeance upon another person for whatever they did to me. It's your job alone to do what you do to people who are sinning. Not my job to punish people. And yet, bitterness is a product of long, drawn out upsetness, being angry with somebody, and that unforgiveness or that problem you have with that person turns into the poison of bitter envy. And that is a juggernaut to get rid of, and only God can do it. And people live with that poison in their hearts for years and years and years sometimes, to where it makes them sick because they don't understand how sick it's making them. Someone may say something as crude as, the very sight of that person makes me sick. Well, what did we make God when God looked at us? What did he see? He saw totally depraved people that had no desire for him. Read Genesis chapter 6. Evil continuously in their hearts. And he wiped them all out, save 8. Continuous. There wasn't a time during the 24-hour cycle that they weren't doing wicked behavior. And yet we think we can rise up and have a bitter spirit towards someone who has upset us. Christians, we're called to what? Pray for our enemies. To love our neighbors and love our enemies. And it means, in that case, it can mean simply praying for them and loving them in prayer. Maybe they don't want to hear from us. Now listen to the next part of this verse. Do not lie and boast against the truth. Now what's James talking about here? Do not lie and boast against the truth. Well, there's only one truth, God's truth. Persons that are consumed by envy and selfishness usually talk about this to anyone who lends and listening. In other words, if you're bitter and you have an envious spirit towards somebody, you'll love to talk about that person with anybody who will hear you talk about it. And people love to hear it. People love to hear dirt. This is what James is talking about. This should not be in the church of Jesus Christ. It should not be anywhere, but particularly in the church that he's speaking to. This should not be. What they ought to realize that every time they open their mouths to give vent to their feelings, this bitter person, this person's full of envy, they deceive themselves. Again, there's that deception. They justify it. And Christians do this. They can walk in self-deception and ruin themselves and ruin other people's lives in the process. And once God snaps them out of it, Lord willing, they'll have to go and ask these people's forgiveness for what they've done to them by word and destroying them and slandering them. If you go to the Ten Commandments, what part of slandering someone's name is ever okay? Never. We need to think about that. We can't justify slandering our enemies' names. It's not okay to slander somebody ever. Slander is a wicked tool of the devil, and it's a wicked tool of the flesh. So then when we open our mouths to vent the feelings, we deceive ourselves. They deceive themselves. They contradict the truth with everything they say. And the truth is that God commands us not to do this. Paul admonishes the church at Ephesus not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen, Christians, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And he tells them to get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of it all. It'll never help. It'll never cause holiness. It'll never cause a walk with God that pleases him. It can't. It's real particular sin, and it needs to be repented of particularly, as our confession says. The heart that matures, the heart that nurtures bitter envy and self-ambition is devoid of heavenly wisdom. That heart is devoid of heavenly wisdom. It's not there because they're operating on an earthly, as we'll see, in a demonic realm. James hits hard here, does he not? James hits very hard. James is saying that all wisdom and humility are destroyed by envy and self-ambition. In other words, destroyed, departed from, walking away from truth. And we say bitterness and envy are here, but we could add a third to the list, and that is arrogance. To be so arrogant is to think, I could take the position that I'm going to hold on to bitterness and envy, and that's okay. That's arrogance. That's another sin against the Holy God. Not my place to do such a thing. Arrogance is the product of these two and goes right along with them. Arrogance is the setting of ourselves higher than we really are. Look at, I have an upper hand on this truth. I now take the truth of God and I just shove it over here and I won't listen to it anymore. I've got an agenda and I'm going to do it. That's arrogance. That's a denial of what is truth. It denies the truth. And this one, in this position, is the type that is always seeking to advance himself in the wrong way. And if you're advancing yourself in the wrong way, it's never going to be the right way. It's always the wrong way, Christians. Listen to the words of a preacher relating a story about someone like this. And listen closely. And this is a quote from this particular story. I quote, I have known some great preachers who have been envious. They constantly fall out with other men of ability. They can't work with anyone except, now listen, else, they can't work with anyone else except those who submit to them. In other words, they're looking for a bunch of yes men, people who just agree with them. Once a friend was having a meal with one of these men, and they were discussing certain annual meetings of a minority movement, sound enough, but a bit on the fringes of Christianity, speaking, of course, of probably a session meeting of sort. Another younger promising speaker was taking those meetings. This older minister said to my friend, he'd better be careful if he wants to be a leader for whom he chooses to speak. My friend was troubled by that phrase. If he wants to be a leader? If he wants to be a leader? What Christian wants to be a leader? An ambitious Christian, the Savior, said that he came not as a ruler, but a servant. Jesus the Christ came to serve, not to be a radical person who just took over every conversation. However, he was the Lord, but he humbled himself to the point of a cross. The Savior said that he came not to be a ruler, but a servant. The Christian thinks in terms of, how does God want me to serve him and his people? The greatest among us is the servant of all. Jesus said very clearly, and it's a commandment, take up your cross daily and forsake yourself. Self-seeking has no place in the Christian's life. To be self-seeking is always sin. We are to get rid of all bitterness. John Calvin, dealing with this issue of young preachers or someone in the ministry, rather than having an older person who's taking an attitude, they better listen to me and do it my way, Calvin said of young teachers and young preachers, we should show them as much respect when they're preaching as one like John Calvin, who was a great expositor when he mounted his pulpit. We must give respect to the preacher, whether we like how young they are or novice they are, if you want to look at it that way. They need to start somewhere. In other words, they're preaching the word of God. Pay attention. Pay attention. It's very interesting that Calvin picked up on that and made that comment. And I paraphrased a bit of what he said. But the greatest among us is the servant of all. Now this brings us to the next verse, where we're going to look at verse 15 and 16, or two verses. This wisdom does not. Now, Christians, this is where we get to what James is really going to show us, the grotesque behavior of those who take such a position. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now, this is where you get to the title. There's two kinds of wisdom. One is real wisdom, and one is wisdom that is earthly and demonic, which is not wisdom. It's evil. It's evil. This is the passage of Scripture that simply takes the idea that one can exist in arrogance and get away with it. And drop kicks it right out of the realm of possibility. What do I mean? This wisdom, James says, is not from above. That it is not from God. And the logic is that if it is not from God, where is it from? Where is it from? If it's not from God, it's earthly, demonic. Think about it, Christians. We do not have that many choices. God or what? God's way or what way? Well, God's way is the one we're supposed to choose every time. God commands us to choose His ways, choose His law, choose His word. If we're choosing something else, we're earthly and we're not thinking clearly. And once some people fall into these things, it's hard to reel people back in. Well, you can hear the people saying, someone like this, hey, he's just a little misguided. Or maybe he had a rough childhood. Or maybe he just cannot communicate with what he feels. Well, none of those apply to disobedience, being eradicated, and that God overlooks sinful behavior, no matter what kind of childhood you had, no matter what happened to you. Maybe your self-esteem was wounded in a classroom, in a public school. Oh, well, that doesn't matter. God says, repent. We live in a culture where everybody wants to blame everybody else for their problems. Well, guess what? Everybody's going to stand at the judgment seat by themselves. Read Ezekiel 18. The proverb that says, you will not blame your fathers for your sins. You will stand alone at the judgment seat. Everyone will get an answer for what they have done. These are all excuses for sin. And on top of these typical answers, they do not even deal with the question. The question is, if this wisdom is not from above, listen closely, then where is it from? And he answers the question. James answers this question. It's earthly. It's unspiritual. It's of the devil. And King James says, it's devilish. The New King James, as I've read, says it's demonic. The Scripture is clear as to what his false wisdom is. But let us be reminded by the apostle on a couple of things. I'd have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as we'll look at a couple scriptures this morning, in addition to what we're looking at, so we can get an idea of what's being said here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're looking at the 14th verse. And listen closely. Verse 14, and you're familiar with this passage, but listen how clear it is. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, is that an eschatological passage that says that that as things grow worse and worse because we believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, that everything's going to, this is what's going to happen? No, he's talking about people in the real church, and we're in the last days. We've been in the last days for a long time. Okay? That's what it means. It simply means there will be people who absolutely are self-deceived, and they simply give in to these doctrines of demons. And that's a very scary place to be, as I mentioned before. The last verse just to look at, and if we turn over to the book of Jude, as we look at this morning before we get back over to the book of James and these extra scriptures which are important to look at. Jude, of course, a very short book, but if we look at Jude and we look at verses 19 through 25, listen to this language that we have from this book dealing with these the idea of demonic positions. These are central, 19, verse 19 in the book of Jude. These are central persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. These people cause divisions. And they what? They don't have the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. In verse 24, now to him is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, and both now and forever. Amen. In other words, God keeps us. He loves us so much that if we walk in deception for 1 hour, he can pull us back. He does pull us back. That's why I'm saying, if you begin to be bitter, envious towards somebody, snap. Realize. Ask God for wisdom. Get me out of this. And if you think I'm talking about offenses that have been done to you that aren't real offenses, you cannot hold grudges. It doesn't mean the person didn't do something really bad to you. It means you don't have the biblical Christian right to be envious and bitter towards this person for a duration as if you're making up the rules. What practical application can you make that would say it's okay to be bitter? None. There's not one. You'll never be able to show it. The scriptures don't bear it out. If vengeance is the Lord's, and it is, then it's the Lord's. And God will deal with these people. Consider the reading from the book of Job we had this morning. Now you may ask the question, just how far will someone go with this evil practice? And you may recall some years ago the story that broke in the news of the mother that conspired to secure a place for her daughter on the cheerleading squad at her school by having her competition murdered. Yeah. Now, you say to yourself, wow, well, that's sin. That's sin logically working itself out in someone's mind. That's a fallen person, a total depraved person that said, I want my daughter to be a cheerleader, so I'm going to kill the competition. Where there is jealousy and envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. So jealousy and envy and selfish ambition by this mother caused her to murder another person. This mother is just an example of how far one will go. And this is why James does not hesitate to include the language of calling it demonic. James calls a spade a spade. Lucifer is the most envious creature under the heavens. It was because of his envy that both he fell and man fell. His approach to Adam was to make our first parents envy the superior knowledge that God had. Did God really say that, Eve? Is that really what he meant? And the deception began. promising them that they would know good and evil if they ate the forbidden fruit. The tree was to be desired to make one wise, but not as they had imagined. Their eyes were open to know good without the power to do it. Christians, it's a fearful thing to think about that moment when all of a sudden Adam and Eve knew they were wicked in an instant. And now, from that moment on, every other person has been depraved. Born in the sin. Coming out of our mother's womb, spewing lies. Their eyes were open to know good without the power to do it, and to know evil without the power to resist it. The devil, since that time, fuels the fires of jealousy to cause man to fall into many sins. That's why James says it's demonic. Can look at, oh, we'll look at it together in closing. In closing, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As we think about this, a very serious matter. This is the matter of our heart and the attitude we have as Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, looking at the writing of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 3 in 1 Corinthians, we hear this language beginning in the first verse. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. He's saying what James said. Among you, you are not carnal. You are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? He goes on and says, verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything. Do you hear what he just said? If you plant the seed, that's not anything other than planting the seed. God does the work. Nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation, listen closely, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, again, the question has to be asked, what other foundation are we going to build on? There's only one. You want to be the person who builds this house on the sand, and when the great storm comes and starts blowing and blowing, the house goes down? Or are we building our house on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ? And that rock of Jesus Christ keeps us from being those people that continuously and have trouble with envy and all the things that James speaks of in this epistle that we're looking at. Well, in closing then this morning, as we consider this chapter at length with the tongue and envious behavior and such, we have to remember that God and the good of our neighbor, but a gratifying self, not merely the lower appetites. We want to always think the best of people and yet pray for them when we see people that are not. We have to remember, Christians, by way of application, that if we think, as we look out, because our worldview is a biblical worldview, we understand why people do what they do. They're sinners. I ask you, to go any further than that, what's the point? I've said this many times from more than one pulpit. Why do people do what they do? Stop trying to figure out why they do what they do. They do it because they're sinners. They hate God. And if they hate God, they hate His law. And if they hate God, they hate us. So what's the point? Why would we be envious and jealous and bitter towards people that hate God the Father? They don't even understand what they're doing. They're blind. We read the story of Stephen being stoned to death. And what did he say? Lay not this charge against them, for they know not what they do. That was his prayer for the very ones who killed him. That's what we should say. So I mentioned, who stoned you recently? Has anybody stoned you recently? But if they did, what should be your prayer? These are the examples that scriptures give us. And we are not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And James makes it very clear, as we close with verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, now listen to this word, confusion and every evil thing are there. That should not be in the Church of Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you sadly it is. And when it is, and if you've ever been through a church split, if you've ever been through a division in the body of Christ, it's some of the nastiest stuff you'll ever experience. You will see people that name themselves as Christians do things that are unconscionable. And yet that should not be named among us. But where it is, this is clear. He's not saying it might be there. He's saying where it is, confusion and every evil thing are there. And he's warning the early church. He's warning us to not fall into that. Let's remember that as we walk through this life, we trust God for everything. We trust our Father to provide for us, to give us wisdom. And wisdom means we know how to handle these situations without going off the deep end. Clear minds, that is clear thinking, that is biblical thinking, always wins the day. Always. It may not seem like that at first, but it always does. Because God won't be mocked. The truth will win and the truth will prevail. Let's think about these things this week. And next week we'll close out this chapter 3 and then we'll be moving into chapter 4. And for next week we'll be looking at, but the wisdom that is from above, which is, remember the difference, the different wisdom, the wisdom that's real and pure, is pure, then peaceable, gentle. See the opposite? And we'll be looking at that next week. But let's think about these things as we take it to heart. Let's pray in closing as we prepare for the table of the Lord. Our Father, our God, we thank you for calling us to be here today, to hear this word. Help us, Lord, to seize quickly thoughts of envy or bitterness, that we would eradicate them quickly in prayer and asking forgiveness for even entertaining such thoughts, that we would pray for our enemies, that we would look to those who do such things to us as miserable people who need to be changed by your Holy Spirit. We ask now that you'd be with us as we go forth in obedience and prepare our hearts now for the table of the Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.